Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:16 Pacific Standard Time. I guess it is still Standard Time, at least for another week. And today is March 4th. Well, today we saw that in Asia, the Japanese market was a little bit softer, down about 0.6%. Hong Kong was down just a bit less than 1%, but the CSI 300 in China, which is the market that has got the futures on it, was up about 0.2%. And, well, that was a nice rally off the intraday lows, in fact. Europe was bolstered by the fact that the euro is weak again in here today, and the Euro Stoxx 50 was up almost a full percent, and the FTSE was up about 0.44%. Well, the FTSE is closing in on this big round 7,000 number. The DAX is a total return index, so it's been outperforming. It cruised through the 10,000 level, well, towards the end of last year. It was up almost a full percent in here today, and it's currently trading at 11,390. Well, just a few months ago, the DAX was trading below 10,000 and broke out. The S&P 500 was trading below 2,000 and has broken above that. The NASDAQ Composite is currently trading in the region of 5,000, and the FTSE 100 is currently trading in the region of 7,000. Well, for the NASDAQ, people are worried that because you've had such a large number of shares rally very spectacularly since the beginning of the year, that this is a bubble. Well, it really would be time well spent, that if you are worried about it being a bubble, to actually click through the constituents on a long-term basis of the NASDAQ 100. And, well, when you go through that and you look at the consistency of the trends, then they're reasonably consistent, and that we have not had the acceleration that would be indicative of the late stages of a mania or a bubble. I think the word bubble tends to get bandied around because it makes for a good sound bite, but in fact, bubbles are quite rare, and we just do not have those conditions. What we have is the potential that the market that has been rallying now for nearly 6 years has the potential to climax in bubble conditions, but that we would be more at the beginning of the bubble phase rather than the end. Well, getting back to the FTSE. The FTSE has been trading below 7,000 since 1999. So you have a 16-year range. And we're really only getting to the upper side of that range once more now. In fact, we've been trading below this region for much of the last 2 years. Well, when you see that just about every other market that has come up to a big psychological level and ranged below it has broken out, then you'd have to consider that the potential for the FTSE to break out has increased fairly substantially. And that is even despite the fact that it has some pretty significant weighting in the resources and mining sectors. The resources sector in particular experienced some selling in here today, and yet the market was up by almost 0.5%. When we take a bit of a step back and we look at Wall Street, that the main indices were a bit softer, that the S&P 500 is still around the 2100 area, a little bit less than that, and the NASDAQ Composite has pulled back below the 5,000 level. Well, 5,000 is a big psychological number. Well, we tend to describe these levels as roundophobia levels, and, well, that's exactly what we're getting, is that you get questioning and you get a little bit of uncertainty creeping in when you get an index race up to a big round number. People tend to ask the question, what next? Well, they're certainly asking the question, what next, when it comes to the NASDAQ. I created an additional section in the Owen's favorite section of the chart library last night, and that's for medical devices. You can see that the biotech sector has done very well, but not on a universal basis, that there are certainly winners and losers within the biotech space, and it is very similar in terms of medical devices, that there are some are doing spectacularly well, but certainly not all. Well, at least that is an additional sign that we're not in a bubble phase, that in order for a company to do really very well, that it does have to have some basis in reality. And that is really quite different to what we had in the 1990s. We're at a particularly interesting juncture right now in government bonds, because just about every single country in the world is printing currency, and the USA is slowly but surely migrating towards a normalization of policy. But when we go think about slowly but surely, that there might be an interest rate hike at some point this year, but just how much and how often those interest rate hikes are likely to be is really up for grabs. What we are seeing is that the Eurozone is going to start printing 60 billion euros a month for the next 18 months, starting this month. Well, despite the fact that we have been in a quantitative easing environment for the last 5 years, 60 billion euros a month is still a lot of money. 1 trillion euros over 18 months is still a lot of money, and certainly the Eurozone is not the only region that is printing currency at the present time. When you think about that in terms of the US dollar, that the dollar continues to advance, and that fact alone is tightening monetary policy in the US. So there'll be less pressure to raise interest rates when you have an advancing dollar. Well, the US is allowing the dollar to advance so far, not least because the economic situation is just better here than it is everywhere else at the present time. That won't always be the case, and the strength of the dollar will become a headwind at some point. Well, then the potential for an additional monetary easing will increase, but I guess we're probably not there just yet. When one thinks then in terms of how to play these markets, then the demand for hedged instruments has increased, and I think that was fairly predictable. That when, I guess if you go back and listen to some of the big picture audios, we've been talking about currency market variability for at least the last 2 years, and particularly since the Japanese embarked on quantitative easing. It means that the demand for hedged instruments has increased substantially, that I think the Wisdom Tree Europe Hedged ETF has got the assets under management have increased into the billions over the last 6 months. And it's not difficult to understand why, because the US dollar appreciation in terms of European assets has been pretty modest when compared to the local currency version. And that's likely to be something that people will be looking at increasingly for the next few years, that the relatively quiet environment that we had in terms of global currencies for much of the last decade is over. And the reason for that is that the dollar's downtrend has ended. That with the competitive advantage that the USA has, that despite the fact that there is the potential for the dollar to weaken from time to time, that the long, decade-long downtrend in the dollar has now been broken. And that really, I think people will be giving the benefit of the doubt to the upside for the foreseeable future. When we look at the US bond markets, then there are an incredible number of moving parts. That the strength of the dollar, the interest rate differential, or the yield differential more accurately, between the USA and Europe is so wide that creates a demand environment for US treasuries. And yet, what we're seeing right now is that the prices, at least, that I've got one bond that I'm showing in comment of the day today is the 2043 3.75 treasury, and that has, it had become really quite overextended. It's unwound the whole thing, and it's now back to the region of the 200-day moving average. Well, if that trend is going to remain reasonably consistent, it will find support, and probably in the next week, and it definitely in the current area. Yields have almost completely unwound their oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average, and we're getting pretty close to the area where you would expect demand to start coming back into dominance here. And really watch that total return index. When you have basically interest rates that are at negligible levels, then momentum is what's driving the bond markets. And because momentum is so, it was responsible for the vast majority of the total return, then the total return index is really where the rubber meets the road. So, well, we're seeing now that the overbought condition relative to the MA has been largely unwound. And what we would need to see in order to have any kind of conclusive evidence that the big bull market in bonds has ended would be that it falls below the 200-day moving average and then encounters resistance in the region of the trend mean on a subsequent rally. In other words, we're still a long way from that. Nevertheless, with the potential normalization of interest rates, that the government bond markets will be really worth monitoring and monitoring closely, that the temptation after 30-year bull market is to be complacent, and while certainly you still have reasonably consistent trends, we know what to look for in terms of inconsistencies to give us a signal that something has really changed. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.